Good afternoon. Welcome to Community Focus. It is 2 p.m.-ish in Muskegon Heights, Michigan. My name is Melvin Burns. As you may know, I am one of the co-hosts of our program Community Focus here at 103.7 The Beat, WUVS. My co-host returned last week, Gregory T. Roberts, and then he took off. He will be back with us next week. He had a family obligation, but we were certainly glad to have Greg back on the program with us. And so I am yet flying solo today. If my picture looks strange to you, I am not in our lovely studio at the Mays and Wright Media Center. I am actually in Lansing, Michigan. I had a family funeral to attend today. So I'm coming to you remote, but nonetheless, we'll bring you a quality program for sure. As I usually start the program, I give you a five list. Had to go to a family funeral today. Thought I would give you a five list today that may be a little bit familiar with you. If you recall this, five stages of grief or five stages of loss. Those stages, again, there's denial. There's anger. There's bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Now, again, we talk about those five stages, and that comes from the tremendous work that was done by Helen Kubler-Ross years ago. But people don't go through those, always go through those steps one after the other. They may go through multiple steps at the same time. They may skip a step. They may go to a step, regress, and go back to others. So be patient. But from years of observation, those are generally the steps that people go through when they're dealing with loss of a loved one. As we've learned and lived through life, sometimes we go through those same stages. When marriage is in, when we lose jobs, when we have other tragedies in our life. So, again, they kind of broadened it from stages of death to grief of death, but just grief of certain loss. So that's our five lists for today. Simple. One's been around for a while. Hopefully it helps somebody who might need that information today. Let's give you some weather. There in Muskegon, we have a low of 39 and a high of 49. And we should get a little sunshine out there today. On Saturday, low of 34, high of 54. It's feeling a little bit like spring, isn't it? Sunday, while we have a 100% chance of rain, we have a low of 46 and a high of 62. On Monday, we expect more rain, low of 50, high of 62. And on Tuesday, a low of 51, a high of 60. Expect more rain. Wednesday, guess what? More rain, low of 49, high of 57. And next Thursday, yep, more rain, low of 44, high of 54. So a little more spring-like weather, which also brings a little more spring-like rain. But April showers supposedly bring May flowers. Speaking of May flowers and things looking nice for the spring, it is my pleasure to bring to you our guest for today.
Hello.
Hello. Folks, let me introduce you to our guest in the studio today. Her name is Sarah Sherwood, and she is the engagement coordinator for Lakeshore United Way. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the program today. I'm sorry I'm not there in the studio with you. I always enjoy meeting the guests in person, but we'll make this work for everybody anyway.
Yeah.
Sarah, tell people a little bit about yourself and your background and how you came to Lakeshore United Way.
Yeah. You know, as you said, my name is Sarah. I am almost a lifelong resident of Muskegon. I grew up in the Wolf Lake area. Okay. And then I started working for United Way of the Lakeshore about 3 years ago as the community engagement coordinator. And there I run our volunteer center, which serves Muskegon, Newaygo, and Oceana counties.
Okay. And so we have some exciting things coming up. At United, we want to talk about a little bit today. Why don't you tell folks about that?
Yeah, coming up in 2 weeks from today, we have our annual Day of Caring for Muskegon County. And a Day of Caring is a day of service where we bring hundreds of volunteers together at sites across the county to make an impact.
Okay. And where are two sites this year?
We're doing 18 sites.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think about memory, I said two, and I didn't ask how many. 18.
Yes, we have 18 total sites across the county. So I'm really excited. This is quite a lot for me. It's not the most we've ever done, but it's the most I have ever done.
Wow, 18 sites. Well, if you got a list there, we want to hear them all.
I didn't bring the list with me, but I'll do my best to remember.
You actually have them memorized at this point.
Yeah, here in Muskegon Heights, we'll be at Reed Muskegon helping them pack up and move to their new location, which is really exciting to get to support them with that. Yes. We'll also be at Bethlehem Community Park, putting in a brand new bike rack and supporting with some park improvements. And speaking of parks, we're also going to be at Pine Park in Fruitport Township. Okay. I'm really excited about that project. It's going to be some playground improvements and painting some sensory pathways along the sidewalks and concrete areas. So really making it engaging for kids who visit the park. Also in Fruitport, we will be doing the Beach School's softball fields, installing their scoreboard and signs and doing some field improvements. We'll be in the Montague area at YMCA Camp Pendaluan and at Oak Grove Cemetery. Okay. At the cemetery, we'll be doing veteran headstone cleaning, so really honoring our veterans and military families through gently cleaning their monuments in their memory. We'll also be up in that area at Pioneer Trails, which is a camp owned by Pioneer Resources. And then in we have a lot of projects in the city of Muskegon and Muskegon Charter Township. We will, now I'm trying to remember them all. We're going to be at several community gardens. One is the Saturday Breakfast Garden, which is right across the street from First Congregational Church.
Yes.
We will be at Heritage Memorial Garden on Western, and we'll be at the Angel Grows Community Garden, which is right behind Health West in the Angel neighborhood. We'll also be at Habitat for Humanity, helping with a build of their brand new Muskegon County home, which is really exciting because this is their first build here in Muskegon County for that particular Habitat for Humanity. And
some of those will come
There's a lot.
How many, well, let's back up. Tell people what the Day of Caring is and how it kind of came about and what we're trying to accomplish on this day.
Yeah, United Way of the Lakeshore has been doing Day of Caring since the 90s. It's really changed over the years. A lot of what United Way does is really listen to the community and adapt based on our needs. So Day of Caring used to be one site where volunteers would all show up to one location, do a day of service together, and then it simply just got too big. More and more volunteers started joining us, and there wasn't enough room at one site. Yeah. So now we go to multiple sites, and it's really a partnership with our nonprofit agencies here in the community, as well as green spaces. And this year, our focus is really on youth and family engagement, as well as sustainability. So April 24th, the day of Day of Caring, is also Arbor Day, and it's Global Youth Service Day. So we really want to engage students and youth and families and do projects that are just going to make our community a greener and healthier place to live.
Well, it's funny, you don't hear people talk about Arbor Day a whole lot. The last couple of years, I've heard it, maybe it's making a resurgence. You know, I'm old enough, I remember when Arbor Day used to be a thing. But that's kind of neat. We're doing an Arbor Day, kind of bring attention back to this whole idea of doing some with green space and gardens and flowers. So that'd be nice. Do you got a handle on how many volunteers you have at all these projects so far?
Yeah, we'll have about 400 volunteers.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And they come from schools, corporate businesses, service clubs, and just individual community members who wanted to give back for a day.
That's awesome. So how do you decide what projects to take on? I'm sure you probably get still more proposed projects than you can do in a day.
Yeah, we have an application and nomination process. So anybody in the community can nominate a project. That's how Bethlehem Community Park came to be. Somebody just saw a need there and nominated them. A nonprofit organization can also apply on their own behalf. So like with Pioneer Trails, Pioneer Resources reached out and asked if it would be possible if we went there. So, and then a committee of volunteers goes through all the applications, follows up with additional questions, and then approves the project. And then as more volunteers sign up, we're able to add more projects. So that's how we ended up with 18.
Now, some of these projects, you know, like helping Reed Muskegon, who's one of our neighbors there on Penn, pack up and move. You know, we need boxes, we need volunteers. But some of these projects take some dollars to do. Okay, so we know that money doesn't fall out the sky and grow up trees. Where are we getting the dollars to support these projects?
We're really grateful to our sponsors. Our premier sponsor this year is DTE Foundation. Awesome. So they are supporting all three of our days of counting, days of caring in Muskegon County, and then also in September when we do Newaygo and Oceana counties.
Okay.
And then here in Muskegon, we're also supported by the Michigan Community Service Commission as a part of their Global Youth Service Day grant process. So we're really excited to have them as a supporter this year, and to have the support from the Global Youth Service Day Foundation.
Okay. So we got 400 plus volunteers at 18 sites around Muskegon County on Saturday the 24th.
Friday the 24th.
Friday.
Yeah.
What time of day are we looking at all this taking place? We got some set hours.
Yep. It's an all-day project. Volunteers will meet at Muskegon Community College, who's our co-host this year, at 8 a.m., where they all receive a breakfast courtesy of our friends at Muskegon Host Lions Club, pancakes and sausage. It's always a big hit. We'll have a little gathering, and everybody comes to that. So that's the one time during the day that all of our volunteers will be in one location to gather and celebrate together. We'll have some inspiring words in the morning, a moment of silence, and the national anthem. And we'll do a group stretch that's led by our friends at Consumers Energy, which is always a really fun part of the day. Everybody looks forward to the group stretch.
Yes.
And then around 9 a.m., everybody will leave and they'll go to their project sites. And they'll be there for the remainder of the day. They all get served lunch while they're there, snacks, bottled water, coffee, all that stuff. Everybody gets a really fun T-shirt, courtesy of our friends at DTE Foundation. So it's just a really good day to gather together, to learn about other nonprofit organizations in our community, and to team build. Honestly, our corporate partners really use this as an opportunity for their teams to gather together outside of work and really bond.
Okay. Folks might be listening. Wow, this sounds good. Is it too late to come out and help with one of those projects?
No, it's never too late. You could sign up the day of if you really want to.
So, good to get a if folks want to contact you, maybe say heard some of the projects or went after some of the area, who can they contact?
Yeah, they can contact me directly by phone or email. My number is 231-332-4010. You can also visit our website. There's a Day of Caring webpage on the main website and then also on our volunteer website, which is volunteer.unitedwaylakeshore.org. There we go.
Okay. we're at the mercy of the internet.
Yes.
My niece Harrison says Sarah is amazing in organizing a Day of Caring. It's such a great event for our community, says Lisa Tyler. You have some fans for comedy. So I'm sorry, let's go back. As you may have said, if folks are interested, what's the number to reach you?
231-332-4010.
Okay. And it's not too late to sign up. They can even sign up as late as the day of the event.
Yep. They may not get a T-shirt, but we will happily welcome them in on the day of.
Well, let's call it advance so you can make sure you get the T-shirt so you have the experience. No, so how many years have you done this, Sarah?
This will be my third year.
Okay. So what is your, tell us about your experience after having done this for a couple of years, the lead up to it, the day of the event. What's been your highlights? What's some things about it that really made an impression on you?
I think it's just really exciting to see how much buy-in people have in it. The volunteers who have been doing this for years, like years before I even started at United Way, and how excited they get to be there on the day of, how they feel honored to be asked to serve. And it just really reminds me what a beautiful community we live in. Yes. We truly are a community where neighbors help neighbors and where we lift each other up. And Day of Caring is such a nice reminder for me to really see that in action. It's always like, how can I do more? How can I keep volunteering for this organization once I learn about it? And it just feels like such a win every year at the end of the day.
So do you find you get a lot of people once they do it one time, they want to come back the next year?
Yeah, they want to come back the next year or they want to continue to volunteer throughout the year. I'll always have a lot of people after the fact either be connected with an organization like Reed Muskegon, for example, or last year we had a team at the Salvation Army. Two of those volunteers have continued to volunteer there every Monday since.
Oh, awesome.
And I know that only sounds like it's two people, but
if you've ever worked at a nonprofit needing volunteers,
yeah,
that's two people, yes.
And for them to return every Monday for the last year to help that organization out, it just really truly feels like a win.
Yeah.
And I know that we'll see that this year too. The volunteers will be connected with these nonprofit organizations or these green spaces. They'll feel a sense of pride for working there for a day, and they'll want to continue to give back throughout the year if they can.
Yeah. You know, you said something earlier on. You said there was, it's not just a chance to go out and do some volunteer work, but you get to meet the agency staff and interact with them, and you find out how driven these people are for their missions, and you get a chance to learn a little bit more about what they do, which is like the extra bonus of not just getting to work. Mm-hmm. You learn about some of these organizations that are in your communities.
Yes. Yeah. And really engaging more youth volunteers has been exciting, because you can encourage them at a young age to get involved, and then hopefully it leads to a lifetime of service.
Yes. Yes. Now, you talked about, and this is your third year, but how have you seen it evolve over the time, even that you've been there?
I see a lot more families participating as groups, which is really exciting.
Yes.
I love the idea of parents wanting their kids to be more involved and them going out and bonding as a family unit by volunteering together. And I think that's been a really nice thing to see kind of grow and evolve over the past few years.
Oh, that's really nice to hear. You know, I know a lot, we've had discussions with a lot of parents. We struggle with how to get our kids involved in volunteerism. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's really nice to hear.
Yeah. And the schools are really supportive of it. If the families want their kids to be out of school for the day to volunteer, we don't really get any pushback on that. The schools want to see their students, you know, participate.
Okay. So, Sarah, I ask people this question all the time, whether they're businesses, volunteers. If you could just close your eyes and dream and say, Sarah, you know what? This year, we got a blank check from one of our donors. What do you want to do on the Day of Caring? If you could dream, what would you want to see the Day of Caring go and expand to?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would love to see us do even more sites. This year, we had so many applications that we couldn't do all of them. So if I had a blank check, I would do all of them, right? If somebody took the time to nominate a project or to apply, it's because they truly believe that volunteers could come in and make a difference. And so if we had that blank check, I would go help everybody that applied.
Great. Now, just to make sure people are prepared, they can call the number. We've got it going across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Anything special they need to wear or dress for that day, need to bring with them?
Yep. Most of the projects are outdoors, so I recommend checking the weather report and dressing in layers for the weather. Closed-toed shoes are always a nice bonus. And if you have your own work or garden gloves, bringing those along so that you don't have to use a donated pair would be appreciated. Otherwise, dress comfortably, prepare for the weather, wear sunscreen, drink water.
Yeah. Always good advice.
In April, you never know what the weather is going to be like.
It could be 70, it could be 20. We just don't know.
Yeah.
Dress in layers, as I used to always say.
Yeah, dress in layers.
Yeah. So 2 weeks away, what do the next 2 weeks entail for you as we get closer to the date?
Just making sure we have all the supplies ready for all of the projects, that we have T-shirts going out to all of our volunteers so they're prepared with them before the day of, signing up any last-minute volunteers, and communicating with all of the sites to make sure that they're ready.
Okay. And then on the 25th, what do you do?
Rest.
Collapse.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think some of your coworkers are just saying tremendous things about you. For you, what is it for you at the end of Saturday or Friday? I keep saying Saturday. What do you call a success?
Well, I think just making it to the end of the day. I would argue that I already feel successful.
Great. Great.
Just because we have hundreds of volunteers already registered and excited to participate. Mm-hmm. We have our 18 sites already picked out and ready to go. And we're already starting to hear excitement about our other 2 days of caring that'll happen in September. Okay. So it's really exciting to just kind of see the momentum from Muskegon's Day of Caring carry over into those other communities.
Awesome. So again, we'll have the Muskegon Day of Caring April 24th. Mm-hmm. In September, you said it's Newaygo and...
Oceana County.
Oceana County. Yeah. So you do get to do all this again.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a tremendous amount of work, but thank God you're doing this, and just a tremendous day for our community.
It really is.
Yeah, that's exciting. Sarah, thank you for coming and sharing this with us. We're excited about this. We've got the number going across the bottom of the screen. Anything I forget to ask you, want to make sure we tell people about the Day of Caring?
Just, I hope that people can join us. And even if you can't and you're interested in volunteering more in the community, you can still reach out to me and I would be happy to help partner you with an organization that could use your skills.
Okay. Now, I know, I asked you earlier, but as Director of Engagement, there are other events, you know, we don't have to talk about the other things, mm-hmm. but there's other events you're involved in other than Day of Caring, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We're getting ready for Earth Day, lots of volunteer opportunities for Earth Day. And then we are hosting a party in the park this year as a part of Parties in the Park. We'll need lots of volunteers for that. And our date is July 24th. And our band is a Journey tribute band.
Oh, okay. So now part of your role, you'll be getting volunteers and organizing those mm-hmm. events as well?
Yep, and helping the other festivals and other parties at Party in the Park recruit their volunteers.
Oh, okay.
So if you can't volunteer for ours, I would love to help set you up with one of the other ones.
Oh, great. So you'll be busy all summer, huh?
Yes, that's the busy time. Day of Caring starts it off, and then it doesn't really slow down.
good. That's exciting. Folks, we hope that you'll, as you hear this, give some thought to coming out and just lending a hand to your community. I'll say personally, Reed Muskegon is a neighbor of ours. We're a couple of doors down. So hopefully we'll be able to go over and lend a hand with their move. So I guess they're pretty close to being in their building.
Yeah, I think they're just going to get the keys on May 1st. So a lot of what we'll be doing on April 24th is really helping them prepare. And anybody that's ever moved before knows how much work that is.
Yeah. Moving is still moving.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Again, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. It's just been a pleasure. We hope the folks will come out. You know, I'm old enough actually to remember when Day of Care started in the 90s. It's like everybody in the interview now, I'm like, I remember when that started. But it's amazing to see how it's evolved. Yeah, I was, you know, again, I said two sites because I remember when it was two sites, you know, but 18 sites is just tremendous. And mm-hmm. giving people an opportunity to just get out and kind of get their hands on doing some grassroots work for Okay, I am so sorry. I'm going to have to apologize again. I am not in the studio today, so we are sort of at the mercy of the technology here, and I lost my feed for a little bit. So again, I apologize for our listeners and viewers, but we're just going to keep doing the best we can with what we have available to us today. If I can get a little maybe help from the studio staff, okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, sir. How about you?
Good. I apologize. We're having a little problem with the technology. I'm not in the studio today. So hopefully we won't have any more interruptions.
No problem.
Okay. Why don't you introduce yourself to our guest today?
My name is Rob Mathis.
Go ahead, Rob.
I am the founder of City Boy Corp in North Muskegon.
Okay. And for people that don't know what City Boy Corp is, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
City Boy is an organization that my wife and I founded during the pandemic to help people. It started off just helping people, you know, at the beginning with lunches. We started off mm-hmm. making lunches for 3 months, you know, just trying to help families out, and people asked us, could we help with other things? And the mission just grew and grew until we had the nonprofit.
Okay. And what kind of things are we doing? And once you've got the nonprofit form, what kind of things are we doing today?
Okay. So we help people with food, clothing, furniture, appliances, housewares, basically everything you need in a household. And we get those through donations in the community. So families buy new furniture and they donate the old furniture to us. And we have clients that's in a list that we donate, we give it right to them.
Okay, yeah, so you talk about this, this started in the pandemic. What was that born out of? Is it just a need you see, or you have a background of community activism or something?
You know, during the pandemic, you know, my wife and I was sitting on the couch and we was watching the news, and they had just closed the schools. So we was thinking like, wow, all these kids going to be out of school. And usually mom and dad depends on the kids to get breakfast and lunch. So that was my motivation right there. Like, man, these kids at home, you know, mostly mom and dad, only thing they planned for was the dinner during the course of the week. So we's like, what could we do to help the families? So we reached out to our friends on Facebook and said that we want to make lunches. So we got donations, enough donations where we made lunches for 3 months. They was coming in every day. People was bringing, I mean, so much food to our home, and we just made lunches, went out to the bus stops, and gave them away.
Okay. And so, and from that account, just, you know, one thing is, once you start helping people, there's always more need than you have. So it kind of grew to other things from there.
Yes.
Okay. So you've been doing this, what, about 5-6 years now?
Yes. That started in 2019. Yep.
Okay, so I understand you have an upcoming event you want to talk about a little bit today.
So we have our annual community picnic. It's held at Hackley Park. It's a free event. It's free food, hot dogs, hamburgers, everything you need for a picnic. We got games, you know, activities for the kids. And usually we have some live entertainment, which I'm still in the process of working on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just a free event for the community just to give back, to show you that we care.
Oh, awesome. Okay. And that's the 20th of June?
Yes, sir, the 20th.
What time will it be taking place?
From 1 until 8 o'clock.
Okay. And do you still need volunteers to help with this event?
Absolutely. I was working on Sign Up Genius, to where people can sign up and come out and help us, you know, serve food and just support the community.
Okay. Okay. Well, so, and if folks want to, you said they can go to Sign Up Genius. Any other way they can contact you if they have questions?
They can contact me at 231-284-9932. That's the office cell phone number. And feel free that you can text that number also.
Okay. Now, you said the office. Are you in a building, or you have your own location now?
Yes, we're located in North Muskegon, right at the Four Corners, 318 Center Street, Suite Number 8.
Okay. And I love to talk to people who've kind of started with an idea or an inspiration to kind of turn to something. If you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about this process of going from, hey, let's feed some kids, to now we create this nonprofit. I'm sure it's been a learning experience for you, hadn't it?
Yes, it has. Every day is a learning experience.
Yeah. So what's that been like once, you know, you got into it? It's like, you know, we need to create an organization. What's that process been like?
Oh, man, it's first getting the 501c3 to proclaim that we're a nonprofit. You got to put your paperwork in and get that from the federal government. And then you got to get your tax ID, which you have to have a business license. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know about all these things, but I had to become legit to where I could take donations, you know, especially cash donations from the community and stuff like that. So I just wanted to make a real business out of it and do something in the community that the community needs. I don't want services that we already have. I wanted something unique. You know, a lot of, you know, other organizations may have you do a lot of different things to get help and support. But my thing is that if a man or woman comes to your organization and asks for help, you know, you know, they already, you know, put their pride aside to come in there to ask for the help, give mm-hmm. them what they want, and let the Lord sort it out later.
Yeah. You know, that's a big part of that is how we treat people when they come to ask for help. Because that can that's a humbling thing to even ask for help. You know, especially men, you know, we'll sell just about everything we have before we ask somebody for help.
Absolutely. I've had men come in there and, you know, telling me stories, horror stories about going to organizations and the things that they had to do. And they crying, walking out the office saying that, you know, you made me feel like a person, you know, mm-hmm. and I just appreciate, you know, you and your organization, what y'all do for the community. And it's things like that that drive me to want to do more for the community, where you can touch people and do different things like that.
Okay. What kind of responses have you, obviously, you know, your nonprofit, you know, we go by, you know, donations and contributions. What's the response been from the community when you look for donations and financial support?
I find, you know, sometimes the community is a little leery about, you know, donations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I assure you that, you know, since I started this, I don't make a dollar out of this. I do this out of kindness of my heart. I'm retired yes. military.
Okay.
I started this organization using my own savings account to start everything, even buying thousands of dollars of food to stock my food pantry and giving it all away. You know, okay. But, sure. you know, the community, you know, helps out, you know, with donations. So, it's gotten a lot better. And I appreciate that from my community.
Yeah. Now, talk about the role for Faith Place for you and your wife in doing this.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Talk about the role that your faith plays in you and your wife and, taking on this venture.
So. Like I was telling you that, you know, we were sitting on the couch watching TV and this thing came up. You know, when you become a man and you have life experiences and you ask yourself, you know, ask the Lord, like, what can I do
mm-hmm.
to make things better? Things is bad, but I don't know what to do. But when the Lord touch you and tell you, this is what I need for you to do, I'm going to make it happen for you.
Okay.
So with that being said, when the Lord directs you to do something, I mean, you just do it. You just jump in it both feet, you know, and I ain't turned back since.
All right. Okay. And so this has been a journey you and your wife have been on for the last few years. And have you got any thoughts or ideas about where else you want to go with this or where is it taking you to?
Well, I would love, you know, once I get things a little bit better, is to have a community center.
Okay.
So I need a steady stream of income to whereas I can create a community center. At this community center, I will have affordable daycare because the prices of daycare has risen.
Sure.
Affordable daycare is going to host a bingo hall because I want to have my own bingo hall, which is going to be a source of income that's coming into City Boy to whereas we can purchase food and personal hygiene items, everything that we normally do, everything to give to the homeless people and people that's just in need.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo hall, the office space will come there. So we'll be doing our in-house thing for the community right out of the office. So that's what I'm working on.
So the steps of getting there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about your event in June. We'll make sure people get that information. It's June the 20th. It's a free day, family day for folks to come out.
Yes.
You said games, prizes. What, I mean, you already do enough every day. So what was the idea behind doing this community day at Hackley Park?
Okay, so again, my inspiration came from the pandemic. So being social had totally been shut down. We mm-hmm. wasn't able to go out to eat, in-house, anything where a large congregation of people would be at, all of that had stopped. So my first event was right when the government took the hold off to where we can have social gatherings. So where I'm like, okay, everybody been shut in so long. Let's have an event at the park. Bring everybody out. Let's have some free food and let's just love on one another and have some fun and, you know, socialize again. So with that is my inspiration, you know, behind this event.
So how many years have you had the event at Hackley, the annual event at Hackley Park?
This will be the fourth year. This is the fourth annual.
Okay. And for people maybe to not in our community, what's it like when you have this event down there that day? What's the atmosphere like?
Oh, man, you know, it's families running around, kids running around. I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful thing to know that you had your hand in putting this together. People sitting down, eating, talking, having a good time in front of the stage, listening to the artists play the music. It's just a great experience. I just walk around and, you know, talk to people, you know, like, I'm glad you came down, brought the kids and, you know, let's just have a good time.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you, are you a native of Muskegon or did you relocate?
I'm originally from Detroit. When I came to Muskegon in the summer of 83.
Okay.
And went to Heights, graduated from Heights in 84 and went straight into the military.
Okay. You know, a lot of times when people talk about this idea of community, they kind of have in their mind how they grew up, neighbors they grew up in. Mm-hmm. Is that still viable or are we trying to create something different? Especially when we talk about, again, people getting out their homes, meeting their neighbors, giving a hand to other people in their community. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, people getting together, you know, different walks of life, you know, different color people just getting out, talking to one another, you know, experiencing one another's cultures and stuff like that is just great. You know, to have people out socializing, you know, and, you know, in with the political climate and all the different things going on, just to have people out having a good time, you know, and not based on what political party you're with. We just all here. We're going to celebrate and have a good time today, bring our kids together and our families. And let's eat and be merry.
Yes, that's awesome. And tell folks again, if they want to help with the event on the 20th, how can they reach you?
Okay, you can reach me at 231-284-9932. That's the office cell phone number. You can also text that number. I'm in the process of doing a sign-up genius, and I'm going to announce that later. You can go on our Facebook page, City Boy Facebook page, and look for information. I'm going to be posting that soon. And there's another thing I wanted to tell you about is I mentioned it, but it's bingo. So we have a bingo every Monday at Select Auditorium on Laketon. And that's how we are able to raise some revenue to keep everything free.
Okay.
So the doors open at 4:00. On Mondays, first game begins at 6:00. So for all you people out there that love to play bingo and want to support City Boy, come out to the bingo game and just help support.
Okay. That's Mondays at Select Auditorium?
Yes.
Okay. So that's way again, and one of the things you said earlier is you got to have kind of a revenue stream to help support these activities. Yes. In the 5-6 years you've been doing this, have you brought on any consistent volunteers or people to kind of help you and your wife on a regular basis?
We have some volunteers that come in and help on a regular basis, but we have a partnership with Michigan Works. So we have different people that come up that's doing community service and things like that and get an opportunity to, you know, work with people. And working with the people is you got to have a good mind for that. And if you go on Google and read my Google reviews, my staff and I make sure that we make everybody that come through our doors comfortable and happy. And we try to give them whatever that they come in there for. If we don't have it there, I put a word out to the community through our Facebook page and let them know what we need. And those particular donations come in. So it's a community effort.
You know, Rob, you know, talking to you, and you can, you know, when you talk to people, sometimes, you know, how they are comes through. And I see talking to you, one of the big things is this idea of how we talk to people and respect people and treat people. I see that's a big thing with you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You know, we talk about interacting, whether it's, you know, Volunteers in Michigan Works, and sometimes people, even those cases, have challenges, or volunteers or people that you help, as more than just giving them those things. Sometimes it's just taking a few minutes to hear what's going on in their life and what they're dealing with.
Yes, it is. I mean, when I do the interview, the intake with the person that comes in, I'm asking, like, what brings you in? They say, well, we don't have no food at our house. And I'm like, I can help you with food, but how did you come on these circumstances? You know, do you need help filling out some paperwork to get assistance? You know, do you need some help from Health West? I know the caseworkers there, I can call them. I just interviewing them, find out what their problem is and get them the necessary help. Mm-hmm. Most of the time while they're there, even calling the caseworkers and have them talk to the caseworkers and see what they need to do so mm-hmm. that they can get served and they can be in a better situation.
Yeah. So as part of this, I guess, if you've done this, if you've gotten a chance to know some of the other services that are out there that maybe you don't do, you can connect other people with.
Yes, absolutely. I do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, you said this is a venture you and your wife have taken on together. A lot of people, you know, sometimes the husband goes one way, the wife goes another way, or it's one person's dream. What does it mean for you that you guys are doing this together?
Well, back to what you said, my wife went her way. So she's following her career right now, uh-huh. and it's just me that's running City Boy. But okay. my wife helps me far as, you know, the event planning and all the behind the scenes, uh-huh. things that need to be done far as filling out paperwork and stuff like that. But, I mean, we work on it all the time. We talk about it, and we see how we're going to expand City Boy and, you know, different things that we're going to do.
It's a team effort, though. You can't take on this kind of thing and, you know, not have a supportive partner.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's always a team effort.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. We did have a comment. I maybe have your thought on this. Just someone, they wanted to encourage you in what you were doing. They had some concerns about bingo and whether that maybe was any concern of yours that's a form of gambling that might be a detractor for some people.
Well, I utilize bingo mm-hmm. to raise funds for City Boy. I mean, it's a lot of money to run a nonprofit, and I just couldn't keep utilizing my savings to fund something and basically give everything away. So I had to find a steady revenue stream, you know, because, you know, just asking people for donations is, I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I would say 1 year, I maybe received maybe $3,500 mm-hmm. in donations. However, the overhead with the food and the mobile pantries and everything was like $35,000 mm-hmm. a year. And that gap has to be met so I'm able to do what I'm able to do for the committee. I understand that it's gambling, mm-hmm. you know, but I have to find a way to fund this or I have to close the doors. Sure. So,
and you know, I'll add some commentary, you know, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, there's some people that do it responsibly and, you know, they go play a few cards and then they're done. What we don't want people doing is, you know, their rent money, their light bill money, their money for right. food. You know, that's let's set that to the side. If you got some extra, let's do best bingo with that. You know,
right.
Yeah. And I know it's and I don't want to put that on you. For any nonprofit, you know, and there's several that use bingo as a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do know in Michigan, you're required, you know, any type of these things are licensed. The state's required to put some money out there for supporting people that have gambling addiction, those kind of things. So I don't want to, it was a question. I don't want to put that on you. You know, people have to have some personal accountability as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just been a pleasure. I think we talked a few years ago, maybe right coming out of the pandemic. I think we talked a couple of years back, and it's just exciting to see how things have grown, how the mission has just gotten bigger for you, and how, you know, your heart's still the same of wanting to help people. So absolutely. We're just really, really excited about that. In your own words, invite people, come out to the event on June 20th.
If you're not doing anything on June 20th, bring yourself, your family, your grandkids, your neighbors, and come out to Hackley Park, downtown Muskegon, and let's all have a good time. It's going to be free food, entertainment, and let's just come out and just have a good time with and enjoy one another. And look, I want to add that today we have a mobile pantry down at Community United Methodist Church, and it starts at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So if you need some food, there's no questions asked. There's no nothing. Just come pull up and we'll give you the food.
That's awesome. Rob, I just love the work that you're doing in the community. I encourage people to come out on the 20th. Have a good time. I understand you're still looking for a band, so do we need to put out an appeal for a band, or we just got to get some details worked out? So
yes, I'm working on details.
Okay, good. So we'll look forward to the music, the food, more importantly, just a chance to kind of just get out, have a good time, and interact with folks in our community.
Absolutely.
Rob, thank you so much for coming on the program today. Anything else we didn't cover? I want to make sure we get, while you have this microphone, we get a chance to cover everything you guys are doing and make people aware of everything that City Boy is doing.
There's one more thing. So City Boy has our own app. So if you go to Google Play or the App Store and type in City Boy Corp, that's CITIBOI Corp, CRP. The app is absolutely free. It's how I can reach out to the community and let them know everything that's going on, what I'm working on, everything. So as it's just like my own Facebook, so I can go on there and let people know absolutely what's going on in the community in real time.
Okay. I apologize again, having little issues with the internet. You said you have your own app.
Correct.
You can get it on Google Play.
Google Play and the App Store.
Okay. And what's the name of your app?
It's City Boy. Just type in City Boy Corp.
Awesome. Awesome. That's pretty awesome there. So we'll encourage people to get the app and download it if they can. Way to contact you directly.
Yes.
Rob, again, thank you so much. It's City Boy Corp North. That's the correct name? Am I saying it right?
No, it's just City Boy Corp, C-O-R-P.
I don't know where I got
short for corporation. Yes,
I don't know where I got the North part from. it's City Boy Corp. It's CITIBOI. Thank you so much for the work you're doing in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you for putting up with the technical problems we're having here today.
No problem.
Want to give you an invitation to come back on the show anytime if you got some things going on. We'll keep encouraging the community about your event in June.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, folks, at City Boy Corp. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll come back and close out our program for today. All right. Good afternoon. As I said earlier, I wasn't in the studio. I was at a family funeral day, and I want to, again, offer my condolences to the Rush, Nason, White, Bradford families had a loss. At the funeral today, I heard a comment. And one of the things I talked to my daughter and some of my nieces and nephews about is the idea of legacy. What is it that you want to be known for? What's the imprint that you want to leave in this world? And one of the folks that spoke at the funeral said, if your life didn't have impact, your funeral will not matter. We don't live our life for our funeral, for our homegoing service, whatever you want to call it, but people will say things about us at the end of our life, and they should matter. Not that we do it to put badges on our chest, but we all leave some kind of legacy, whether you plan on it or intend to do it or not. You will leave some type of legacy. In today's program, we talked to two different people who talked about ways to get involved to volunteer in a community, to give back, to make your life matter beyond yourself. And so as we close out the program today, I want to encourage you to do that. You know, we always say go out and be a blessing, but there's so many opportunities for you to step outside your door and help somebody else. You don't necessarily have to join an organization. You don't always have to come out of your pocket, but there are more than ample opportunities for you to find a way to make an impact in somebody's house, somebody's family, and somebody's school, and somebody's community. So I want to kind of encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to provoke you and whatever else I can do to get you to maybe think of life beyond yourself. And what is it you want people to say about you? Now, we used to say, what do you want people to write on your tombstone? That's a little morbid. But what is the legacy you're leaving? What are the things you're leaving behind here that are really going to matter to people? What's the difference that you're making with the time you spend here? All right. That is our closing thought for today. Gregory T., I will look for you back in the studio next Friday. We'll be back with more exciting guests, exciting interviews, and continue to inform the community. Friday, the April 10th, I am Melvin C. Burns II. This is Community Focus. Be blessed.